We pray, thanks for Lord giving us wonderful day with wonderful people around us. Thanks for giving us victory. You are the conquerors so that we could be more than a conquerors. Lord, stir our heart and sanctify us by your truth. Your word alone is the truth. Amen. My lovely brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to call you today conquerors. What did I say? What did you hear? Okay, I said that. Jesus Christ conquered the death by his resurrection. In the grace of Jesus Christ, we are no longer slave of sin and slave of Satan, because we are adopted as children of God. That is why I called you conquerors. The victory is given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that the word Nike is in the Bible? In Greek word, we say Nike. I don't know why we call it Nike, because Americans change all the pronunciation in their own way. But the Nike, the victory, in 1 John chapter 5 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe Jesus as the Son of God? That's why I call you conqueror today. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. Lent season is about 40 days from Ash Wednesday to the Holy Saturday right before Easter Sunday. And the Sundays in those 40 days not included, not counted. So those 40 days generally refers to Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. As we hear the gospel message today, Gospel of Mark chapter 1 says, "At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days. Being tempted by Satan, he was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As we know, Jesus' forerunner, John the Baptist, was put in prison. Now, there was the time of Jesus' official ministry, saving the world from the condemnation of sins. Jesus started his ministry by proclaiming, "The kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the good news." Last Wednesday, I stayed in the Santa Clara Apostle Lutheran High School, the Peace Lutheran Church. And after my Word of God class, I heard the teacher, the student, looking for the Pastor Chang. And I heard that I get out of my office and I saw the one young Korean man looking for the pastor. So I talked with him and he invited me to, he says, great, great conference for the pastors in New York. He says, "All you need is airplane ticket and we'll cover your accommodations, meals and the hotels." I see the flyers. I immediately smell something wrong and I found a name. I don't like the name, the Mr. Park. He ordained himself as a pastor. He has a big congregation in Korea now. But they teaching totally different gospel from us. You know, their group name is like this, the Good News Mission. If you go by that, nothing wrong with that. Good News Mission. They have their own church and they have their own service. Lots of things ongoing. But the problem is, they emphasize the knowledge is most important. So they may ask you, "You saved?" And you say, "Yes." Then they will ask you, "When and where? Tell me. When and where?" If you hesitate, they say, sorry, you're not saved. You must know the important day. You remember your birthday, and how come you don't know your second birth? The knowledge is an error from the Gnosticism from 2,000 years ago in the early church. And they says, you need only one repent in your life. When you believe Jesus, that's the only need, the moment to repent. And after that, you don't need to repent anymore because you're righteous. Jesus calls the sinners, repent and believe the good news. And Peter said to the people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we see that. Jesus Christ and Peter now called all the people, non-believers, repent and believe. So the Holy Spirit justifying the people through the good news, and they need to repent. But on the other hand, the believers also need to repent. Paul said to the church in Corinth, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Remember, Apostle Paul writes this letter to who? To the people in Corinth, to the church in Corinth. And how about this? Saint John got the vision from Jesus Christ, says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now you realize that over here, the Holy Spirit works among the believers and gives you the penitent hearts. So repentance is a lifelong mission. Even a couple years ago, I preached about that believers' real repentance leads to true obedience. So let me ask you, do the believers need to repent? Yes. And then, who is Lent for? It is only for sinners. Lent shows us our sins. And also, Lent shows us our Savior. Therefore, Lent works as the law, as a mirror, as a curb, as a guide to us, show our sins. And also, Lent works as a gospel to show our Savior. During this season of Lent, we focus on Jesus' life and death because we got forgiveness through Jesus' life and death. And we got this opportune time to reflect on our lives in the light of Jesus' forgiving grace. We got penitent heart to repent because we must be amazed by God's love through his only son, Jesus, when we read and hear Jesus' final day story, like his visit to Garden of Gethsemane and his betrayal, arrest, trial, and crucifixion, death, and burial. So today our sermon text from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. It is the part, we call it the climax in the book of Romans. It is a peak. So world famous Bible passage, John 3:16, God beautifully expanded here. For this reason, I want to make three parts to read this. The first, God gave us his son. When then shall we say in response to these things, if God is for us, we can be, who can be against us? Now Paul deals with the hopeless suffering from the world, which is caused by the sins. And then for finishing this eternal condemnation, condemnation of the law, condemnation of our sin, Jesus Christ set us free from the law of sin and death by his own death and resurrection. So for the people who believe it, they will have the hope for the future glory. So how about our lives in this world as believers? And how come we keep sinning? If the people around us understand God's love and God's grace and God's righteousness and its effect only through the believer's life, if those people only know God's love and grace and forgiveness and righteousness through you and my life, what kind of result will be? They will not join to us. Because they cannot see, they cannot find the big differences from them and us. The Lord equipped the law in our heart and mind. So whether they believe Jesus or not, they know the wages of sin is death. If their mind and heart are not fully clouded by their sin. Therefore, they're expecting, they're judging us according to the law of sin and death. That is why they need to hear the gospel, especially from the book of Romans and early verse. Verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of simple flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. So we do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We have lots of wonders and we have lots of questions on how God's salvation works. We do not know his purpose and we do not know his will beyond the revealed truth through the Bible. And our knowledge about him is so limited. We do not know who are declared. We do not know who are predestined, who are justified, who are glorified as God's people. However, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So I'm urging you, instead of wasting energy and time, try to know his purpose. We better trust and live in his purpose. Instead of wasting our time and energy, try to find the definition who's our neighbor to love. Instead, we better be a neighbor to them. Paul firstly declared that being justified, it changes our life and our ways. We call the believers faithful and holy lives in this world as Christian sanctification. Paul raised a couple rhetorical questions for the conclusion of man's reasoning argument on God's mysterious love. God's mysterious love, which is inexpressible, which is indescribable, and which is incomprehensible. If the ministry of the gospel and his love, it does not stay as a mystery, and any artificial intelligence can truly believe Jesus as their savior from their programmed intellect. So if you wonder on the way back, please test yourself with your smartphone. Ask Siri, hey Siri, do you believe Jesus? In verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. We already read that. So, Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? The Creator, who knows everything, who could do everything, is present everywhere. The mighty God is for us. God is on our side. Then who can defeat us? God also took the action on his love for us. God has acted on our behalf with his salvation, and he will continue to do so. Since we know God is with us, and then God gave his only son for us, sounds like all we need is to celebrate and enjoy our lives, right? But your heart knows the answer. The answer is no. We got the true forgiveness, yes, and then his righteous robe by our faith in Jesus Christ. However, we still commit the sins. Our battle in us from the simple desire and holy desire is continuing even right now. What do you love so much that it would be impossible to willingly, gladly give up for the Lord when he required it? Your time, your talent, your money, your position, your friend. When he required you by the first commandment. He don't want to share his glory with anything, anybody. Did you fully obey the first commandment? You shall have no other God. Did you do that gladly and willingly? We are not. But we have good news. The second part of the Romans chapter 8 goes this way. God declares us righteousness. Instead of we asking him, but he gave to us about that. So who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Justification took place when Jesus died. But our confidence doesn't stop there, because the same Jesus is now alive. At the right hand of God the Father, even he prayed for us. Who would dare speak against God's children? However, actually, there are many who speak against God's people and shaking our faith and causing us to doubt our faith in our Savior, Jesus. As I introduced the false Korean church, there are two different kinds of the heresies. The one group is visible. They put somebody as Jesus Christ, their own Savior, and then they make their own book. So we could smell it, we could notice it immediately. They're not the true Christians. But the other group, they act like us. They worship like us with wrong doctrine. They're so dangerous. For the Roman Christians, the simple world of Jews and Judaizers and philosophers and the governors were considered as their accusers. Even though we are really thankful our religious legal status in this country, you have freedom to go to church and believe Jesus, but we are still lambs who are surrounded by wolves. How about Satan? If Satan tried to tempt Jesus, then how about us? And there is another effective accuser in us, which is our heart. We have a natural tendency to think of sin and punishment more than think of grace and forgiveness. We need to remember, God declares us righteous through Jesus. And God loves us to eternity. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? as it is written from the Psalm 44, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see the quotation from the Psalm 44. It indicates that God's people, just like you and me, we have always faced hardship and persecution, but there is good news for us. We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. What does this mean for you? For me, God's people will win and overcome the sufferings, because God's plans was, through the Jesus' suffering, should he fulfill and bring the salvation to us. And the Christian suffering should bring maturity, should bring purity, and should bring blessing. As Jesus preached on the mountain, we'll be blessed when we are poor in spirit and hungering and for righteousness and persecuted, insulted, and slandered. Does anybody recall how the Pastor Chung read this beatitude this different way last year, a couple years ago? I said, we are already blessed. We got already the crown of salvation on us so that we can be persecuted. So then we can be inserted. So then we can be slandered. Jesus' victorious crown of life is already on us by our faith. So that no one and nothing in this world cannot take the crown of life from you. Yes, nothing cannot separate us from the love of God, which he has proved to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, look at the battle in between our simple desire and holy desires. Please open your ears to hear the roaring lion sound. When Satan tried to tempt Jesus, Jesus won and conquered the temptation by the word of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are more than conquerors. In this holy season, let our eyes fix on Jesus, and let our heart feel the passion of Jesus, and let our mind be filled with the word of God. With that confidence and assurance, we see how great is God's love for us. And God gave his only son for me. And then when you stand in front of the cross personally, the hill of grace and forgiveness, you may see how simple you are. You may see how you not deserve to have that grace. Then repent. The repentance with genuine terror and sorrow over sin has its counterpart in an equal measure of confidence in the love of God for sinners. So by believing and receiving the forgiveness of our sins. So that's why Apostle Paul says, well, there is abundance of sin, there will be the abundance of grace also. We do not observe this season to focus on our lives. That's why we pastors did not proclaim the message to you. Hey, what is the things you want to give up in this special Lent season? Paul Chung, you need to give up your golf during the Lent season. Hey, you need to give up your motorcycle riding for this season. You need to give up your beer. You need to give up something, something, something. We don't proclaim message that way. Why? We do observe this season of Lent to focus on Jesus' life. in his death. As soon as, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we realize, we remember, and we believe why and what Jesus did for us. And we genuinely repent and give thanks for his inexpressible, his indescribable, and his incomprehensible love for us through Jesus. In him, we are more than conquerors. We are ready to say, come on, world. We are ready to hold the truth, and we are ready to share the truth, and we are ready to fight for the good fight for the destiny of gospel. Because, repeat after me, God is for us. Amen. Repeat after me, amen.